Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world. Ashley and I will bring you those stories, along with Brian Lynn, John Russell, and Jill Robbins. Dan Friedel will tell us what's trending today, and Katie Weaver will bring us this week's Personal Technology Report. But first, the hijab is one of the most recognized symbols of Islamic culture. The hijab is a head covering for women to wear in public. Advertisers, technology companies, and fashion designers are gaining interest in the hijab. It is becoming more popular among athletes as well. Recently, Apple announced 12 new emoji characters it plans to make available later this year. One of the characters is of a young woman wearing a hijab. Reuters reports that major fashion and sporting equipment companies are creating hijabs. Nike said it plans a spring 2018 release of a breathable hijab that women can use while exercising or playing sports. And hijabs are becoming more common in Western advertising by companies such as H&M and Gap. Muslims are a big market for business. In 2010, the Pew Research Center estimated a Muslim population of 1.6 billion people. But the hijab's growing acceptance has limited meaning. The Council on American-Islamic Relations is a civil rights group for Muslims. It says Muslim Americans still face discrimination. Women wearing hijabs can be at particular risk for abuse and other mistreatment because the head covering identifies them as Muslim. But the increasing acceptance of the hijab might help change behavior. Amani Al-Katabeh is the founder of the online publication MuslimGirl.com. She told Reuters that popular brands of clothing are in a good position to produce social good. She said, "Popular brands can help increase understanding of Islam and improve its public image." But Al-Katabeh said including Muslims in advertising and product development should not be all about profits. She said, "Businesses have a responsibility to support more acceptance of Muslims. It can easily become exploitative by profiting off the communities that are being targeted right now," she told Reuters. Other signs of more acceptance include a Vogue Arabia magazine cover. In June, for the first time, the magazine's cover was a photograph of a model in a hijab. Somali-American Halima Adin received international attention last year when she wore a hijab and burkini during an American beauty competition. A burkini is swim clothing that covers the entire body, except for the face and hands. Adin posted a video on her Instagram account. In the video, she said, "Every little girl deserves to see a role model that's dressed like her, resembles her, or even has the same characteristics as her."
Officials in northwest China's Xinjiang region have moved to ban the use of the Uyghur language at all education levels, Radio Free Asia reports. The new ban marks one of China's strongest measures aimed at assimilating ethnic Uyghurs, RFA says. Uyghurs are a mostly Muslim ethnic group in China and Central Asia. Most live in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region of China. Rights groups have said China represses Uyghur culture and religion. The Education Department in Xinjiang's Hotan area issued a directive in June banning the use of Uyghur at schools in favor of Mandarin Chinese. The directive said schools must insist on fully popularizing the National Common Language and Writing System according to law. Beginning this fall semester, Mandarin Chinese will be fully used in preschools, elementary schools, and middle schools, the directive says. It also instructs schools to prohibit the use of Uyghur language, writing, signs, and pictures in the educational system and on campuses. Any school or person that fails to enforce the new policy will be severely punished, the directive says. Four officials confirmed the directive to RFA. They spoke on the condition of anonymity. They said their local governments were preparing to put the directive in place ahead of the fall semester. A Chinese education official in Hotan said the directive was issued on June 28th. All area education offices received it 2 days later. A Uyghur official from another Hotan office said all teaching will be conducted in the Chinese, not Uyghur, language in the upcoming semester. Even the Uyghur textbooks will be replaced with Chinese textbooks from inland China. All teachers and students are required to speak the Chinese language only in the school and education system, he added. A different Chinese official from Hotan told RFA that the directive is meant to encourage the learning of the national language. He said education authorities decided to ban the use of the Uyghur language in order to create a favorable environment for minorities to study the national language. For many years, China has had a bilingual education system in Xinjiang's schools. Uyghur students can choose to learn among other Uyghur students. Those students receive literature instruction in the Uyghur language. All other subjects are taught in Mandarin Chinese. The new directive would end the Uyghur language instruction, however. Observers say the bilingual education system violates China's constitution and ethnic autonomy laws, RFA reports. China's constitution says the people of all nationalities have the freedom to use and develop their own spoken and written languages. And China's regional ethnic autonomy law on language says that schools in ethnic areas use textbooks in their own languages and use these languages as the media of instruction. Ilshat Hassan is president of the Uyghur American Association in Washington, D.C. He told RFA that China is trying to ignore its own laws by calling the new directive a part of the bilingual education system. He said, in fact, by enforcing this new policy at the preschool level, the Chinese government intends to kill the Uyghur language at the cradle. He added that the international community must not allow China to destroy our beautiful language and culture, which has thrived for several millennia.
Germany says Vietnamese agents kidnapped a former oil official in Berlin and returned him to Vietnam to face corruption charges. German officials accused Vietnamese intelligence services of carrying out the kidnapping of Trinh Xuân Thanh on July 23rd. Thanh, 51, disappeared from Vietnam in July 2016 after being accused of mismanagement and corruption. Vietnamese officials blame him for causing losses of about $150 million at national oil and gas company PetroVietnam. A German foreign ministry spokesman said the kidnapping of a Vietnamese citizen on German soil was a violation of German and international law. The spokesman added that the incident could harm relations between the two countries in a massive way. Germany responded by ordering a Vietnamese intelligence officer to leave the country. The foreign ministry said Germany was still considering other possible actions against Vietnam at a political, economic, and development policy level. German officials said Thanh had sought asylum in Germany, but his application had not been processed. The officials said Vietnam had also sought his extradition. Vietnamese officials said Thanh had turned himself in to police in Vietnam on Monday. Vietnam's ambassador was contacted by German officials in Berlin. They demanded that Thanh be returned to Germany so the asylum and extradition requests could be correctly handled. After serving as head of PetroVietnam, Thanh was appointed to several senior government positions. He was elected to Vietnam's National Assembly in May 2016, but was dismissed a short time later after being accused of corruption. Vietnamese officials issued an arrest warrant for him in September 2016. I'm Brian Lynn.
Turkey's top military group has decided to replace the leaders of the army, Air Force, and Navy. Local media reported the decision to change heads of the military branches after their terms expired. The moves are the most recent changes to the armed forces after the failed attempt by the military to oust Turkey's government in July 2016. Other top members of the military will replace the heads of the three branches. Broadcaster NTV reported on the changes following a meeting of the Supreme Military Council. Prime Minister Bin Ali Yildirim is the chair of the council. Military officials were not available for comment. However, the changes are expected to be presented to President Recep Tayyip Erdogan for approval. According to NTV reports, Yashar Güler, the commander of the gendarmerie forces, will replace Saleh Zeki Çolak, the commander of the Turkish land forces. Adnan Özbal, a vice admiral, will replace naval commander Bülent Bostanoğlu. Hasan Küçükakuz, commander of the Turkish Warfare Air Force, will replace Air Force commander Abedin Ünal. Wednesday's meeting was the third time Turkey's top military council gathered since the failed coup attempt last year. Last year, the council cut the length of some officers' service. It also put 586 colonels into retirement and extended the service of another 434 colonels by 2 years. I'm John Russell.
President Donald Trump gave his support Wednesday to a bill that would cut legal immigration to the United States by half. The bill would reduce legal immigration to the U.S. from the current level of 1 million a year to 500,000 by the end of the 10th year. It would also give a priority to immigrants based on their education, job offers, English language skills, and success in creating businesses. The bill is similar to proposals Trump made as a candidate for president. During the 2016 campaign, Trump often said immigration was costing Americans jobs and keeping pay down for those with jobs. Republican Senators Tom Cotton of Arkansas and David Perdue of Georgia appeared with Trump at the White House to introduce the bill. Trump said the bill he is supporting would help Americans better compete for jobs.
Among those hit the hardest in recent years have been immigrants and, very importantly, minority workers competing for jobs against brand new arrivals. And it has not been fair to our people, to our citizens, to our workers.
The bill would keep the current immigration preferences for spouses and young children of U.S. citizens and legal permanent residents. But it would do away with preferences for other relatives, such as grandparents or adult children. The bill would also end the Diversity Immigrant Visa Program, known as the Diversity Lottery. The program was created to increase immigrants from countries underrepresented in the United States. Cotton said it has been poorly managed. The bill would also limit the number of permanent refugees admitted to the U.S. to 50,000 a year. Cotton said that is in line with the 13-year average. Passage of the immigration bill is far from a sure thing. The bill would require passage in the House of Representatives and the Senate. In the Senate, the bill would need 60 out of 100 votes. That will be difficult given opposition from groups that see immigration as positive for America and for businesses that depend on immigrant workers. Senator Lindsey Graham is a Republican from South Carolina. He tweeted, that the proposed immigration bill would be bad for his state. If proposal were to become law, devastating to South Carolina economy, which relies on this immigrant workforce. Groups that favor immigration quickly criticized the bill. John Feinblatt is president of a group called New American Economy. It represents 500 mayors and business leaders who support legal immigration. He said cutting immigration in half would result in fewer jobs for Americans. But Senator Cotton said change is needed in a system that now brings 1 million immigrants to the U.S. each year.
That's like adding the population of Montana every single year, adding the population of Arkansas every 3 years.
I'm Jill Robbins.
This is What's Trending Today. The biggest soccer story of the summer was not Germany's win at the Confederations Cup in Russia. And it was not the United States' Gold Cup win over Jamaica either. Instead, it was the constant discussion about whether Brazilian star Neymar would leave his current team, Barcelona, and move to Paris Saint-Germain. Barcelona recently played in the United States, and it was all people wanted to know about. But that discussion has come to an end. Barcelona announced on Wednesday that Neymar said goodbye to his teammates and told the team he was leaving. The only delay? Paris Saint-Germain will need to pay Barcelona over 200 million euros to purchase Neymar's contract. Until then, Neymar is still a member of Barcelona. However, he will not practice with the team. In July, many sports publications wrote about the possibility of Neymar leaving Barcelona. They said he did not like being the team's second-best player behind Argentine star Lionel Messi. But just last week, Spanish player Gerard Piqué of Barcelona posted a photo of Neymar on Instagram. Under the photo, he wrote, "He stays." Piqué said he did not have any special information about his teammate, however. It was just his own feeling about the situation. The question about whether Neymar would stay or go grew more intense in the last week, as Barcelona finished its tour of the U.S. and returned to Europe. Neymar did not travel with the team. Instead, he went to Asia to make appearances for his sponsors. He returned to Spain on Tuesday night and told the team of his decision on Wednesday. Now, the soccer world must wait for Barcelona's bank account to grow by over 200 million euros. When that happens, Neymar will be on his way to Paris. On Wednesday, Messi used Instagram to post a goodbye video message to Neymar. The two have been Barcelona teammates since 2013. More than 5 million people watched the video in the first 3 hours. And that's What's Trending Today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Technology offers conveniences such as opening the garage door from your car. or changing the television station without touching the TV. Now, one American company is offering its employees a new convenience: a microchip implanted in their hands. Employees who have these chips can do all kinds of things just by waving their hands. Three Square Market is offering to implant microchips in all of their employees for free. Each chip costs $300, and Three Square Market will pay for the chip. Employees can volunteer to have the chips implanted in their hands. About 50 out of 80 employees have chosen to do so. The president of the company, his wife, and their children are also getting chips implanted in their hands. The chip is about the size of a grain of rice. Implanting the chip only takes about a second and is said to hurt only very briefly. The chips go under the skin between the thumb and forefinger. With a chip in the hand, a person can enter the office building, buy food, sign into computers, and more, simply by waving that hand near a scanner. The chips also will be used to identify employees. Employees who want convenience but do not want to have a microchip implanted under their skin can wear a wristband or a ring with a chip instead. They can perform the same tasks with a wave of their hands as if they had an implanted chip. Three Square Market is the first company in the United States to offer to implant chips in its employees. Epicenter, a company in Sweden, has been implanting chips in its employees for a while. Three Square Marketing says the chip cannot track the employee. The company says scanners can read the chips only when they are within a few inches of them. Three Square Market says that the chips protect against identity theft by being encrypted, similar to credit cards. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the chips back in 2004. So they should be safe for humans, according to the company. In the future, people with the chips may be able to do more with them, even outside the office. Todd Westby is chief executive officer of Three Square Market. He says, eventually, this technology will become standardized, allowing you to use this as your passport, public transit, all purchasing opportunities, etc. I'm Katie Weaver.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.